May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Take a pew. All right, or a chair. The good news of Jesus according to Luke. I know. Good news. Go figure. Who knew about this one? Obviously, Ross did when he gave it to me. I mean, who knew that the fights that I had with my sister for those 15-odd years that we lived in the same household were good news? Well, I can tell you, that would be new news to my mother. I don't know about you, but boy, could me and my sister go at it. We had division on just about everything, and we didn't need our Lord's help. One very good and ongoing example was, whose turn was it to wash up after dinner? Yes, I came from the pre-enlightened period of no dishwasher. According to Mum's rules, one of us washed and the other was wiped. And then we switched for the next meal. Fights over whose turn it was to do just which got so bad that when we moved into the kitchen out of sight of Mother, my sister would deliberately cry out as if I'd hit her. That way, Mum would come out, give me a clip round the ear, and despite my protestations of innocence, I'd be the one doing the washing up. Well, that was until Mum quietly came out one day, probably after many of my protestations, and saw my sister engage in her little charade. That day, she got the clip round the ear. And you shouldn't feel sorry for me either. Because after that, when we would go out to the kitchen every so often, I would give her a gentle tap. And of course, nothing would happen. Trust me, we didn't need any help from our Lord. Oh no. If only I'd have known my Bible better back then, I could have said to my mother that our division was just me going about our Lord's work. I bet this or something of this type rings familiar to many people. But the Gospels are good news. And squabbling with my sister was not good news. So what's our Lord getting on about? First, he bangs on about bringing fire to the earth, and then goes into peace, I'll give you peace. And he has his tirade over division. Seriously, what gives? As usual, it's important for us to always situate the gospel, particularly today's gospel, in context. Our Lord and his disciples are in their last journey to Jerusalem. And despite our Lord's teachings, parables, examples, the disciples are still not getting it. And what we see is our Lord just losing it on them. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We're quick to acknowledge that Jesus was fully divine and fully human, but are very slow to allow our understanding of him to actualize the human part. Each time he has a hissy fit, we go, oh dear, what's happening? Ooh, that doesn't sound right. Ooh, Better put that one aside and not read that again. We want to gloss over because it doesn't fit with our Sunday school notion of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. So, what might he have been on about with fire? Fire in the Bible is used in many ways. There is destroying fire, as in Revelations, and there's purifying fire, as in several prophets talk about. The purification of Israel is a very common theme. And not to mention, fire is often used to represent God, as in pillars of fire in Exodus or flames at Pentecost. You recall about 7 weeks ago, of course you will, we heard about James and John wanting to send fire on the Samaritans, right? Well, you can just imagine on this occasion, James and John standing there whispering to each other, "When we suggested it a while back, he came down on us like a ton of bricks." James and John were on about fire as in smoke 'em. You diss my master, you get smoked. Done. They were not talking the same as our Lord is talking in today's gospel. In today's gospel, our Lord refers to a fire as purifying. Hence his reference in the baptism. It's cleansing, not destroying. He's being a bit out of character, maybe, by our interpretations of how he's expressing it. And so for us, we sometimes freak and jump to the worst interpretation. But for him, it's purifying. Right. Now, peace versus division. Let's set the ground rule. The ground rule is our Lord's prime directive. Love one another as I've loved you. Right? Okay, you don't have to be quite so Anglican. You can be a little bit Pentecostal once in a while. Right? Yes. Hallelujah, and pass the biscuits. However, I think we can all agree that to expect us to go from the typical human stance of I'll love who I like to loving everyone is a work in progress. Right? Ooh, somebody's getting it. So consider, you're the writer of Luke, writing this gospel somewhere towards the end of the first century, and you know full well what our Lord's primary directive is, the golden rule. But what you're seeing in these formative years of Christianity is there's lots of strife, especially family strife, between people who are following the new movement and the rest of their family. Not only their family, but their friends and their community. That collective group doesn't get it, and they are torn apart, often violently. Today, to be at odds with your family is bad enough. And in this age of individualism, where each one of us is encouraged at some level to be different, to be you, when it comes to religion, if you are at odds with your family, it can be very hard, no question. But at least you can look around you at the wider community and see that there are families that are openly mixed religion or religion, non-religion. Heavens, in this day and age, in our part of the world, you're likely to hear, "Oh, how progressive," as opposed to being condemned. However, even if you are at odds with your family, especially over faith. It's so far removed from the situation in Israel 2,000 years ago. It's something we can't even begin to come close to. Your whole identity and that of your family would be tied up in your community. And that included your faith. So to walk away meant to walk away from it all. There was no support from your family, nor from the community you had been part of since you were born. In fact, you could well be facing real, serious, physical harm, right up to death, by your family or your community. If that was the case, where do you look for hope? Now, if all the Gospels ever said was, don't worry, be happy, and didn't even acknowledge such strife, you'd probably think to yourself, whoa, it's me. Something's wrong. What's going on? What have I done? You and your little band of new Christians would think you were all on your own. Therefore, to hear our Lord say that you know what's going to happen will give you some heart. It won't take away the pain of the fight, but it at least will give you the comfort that it's not just you. In fact, it will give you heart to weather the storm and keep fully in your sight our Lord's golden rule. So, as usual, I'll ask the question, what's it got to do with us today? Well, depends what side of the equation you're on. If you are one who is struggling with family over faith, and the practice of it, take heart. It has ever been thus. It is a problem our Lord knew would be and named. However, if you're on the side of the family over faith, or for that matter, over divisions of any notion with the family, you too should recall that it has ever been thus, and temper your ardor for your side of the story with an open mind and at least the ability to listen to the other. But wherever you find yourself in a division, just remember, act in accordance with the golden rule. Love one another as I've loved you. Amen.